Thank you for tuning in to the Helium Radio Network. You are listening to a rebroadcast of a previously recorded show.
We have to create the best solution for the patient. And I can tell you, every day I look at not only at-home COVID testing, but at-home everything testing, A1Cs and other things, because we need to realize that people are at home. You know, Instacart's doing pretty good and DoorDash is doing pretty good. We as a company need to go to the patient. So what I'm doing is I continue to look for solutions that I would use that work for me, because I am a patient. And if it passed the muster with me, then I can bring it to my patients and the physicians who we serve.
That's Ken Sternfeld, a self-described recovering pharmacist who is working to transform healthcare for providers and patients. And this is Healthcare Confidential. I'm your host, Teresa Jacobellis, bringing innovators and experts together to discuss the American healthcare system. Ken Sternfeld is founder of RxVIP Concierge and RxVIP Cares, and he's focused on improving healthcare by elevating the role of the registered pharmacist to be a member of the healthcare team working at the point of care. RxVIP pharmacists are embedded in primary care offices where they can spend time with patients, perform risk assessments, medication reconciliation and counseling, and many other preventative services. And during the COVID-19 pandemic, pharmacists and students of pharmacy are able to take on even more meaningful roles, often working remotely to counsel and advise patients as an extension of the doctor's staff. Ken, welcome to the podcast, and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thank you, Teresa. It's a pleasure. It's kind of brought me full circle on your wonderful podcast. I think I was the first who we shared the airways with. So thank you for having me back.
Indeed, you were the first, and now you are the 39th. So
wow.
That's exciting. It's been quite a ride.
Well, I'm still only 39 years old. I keep telling
isn't
myself.
Isn't that amazing?
And
we'll have you back again. We'll have to have you back for the
78th
or something. Yeah. So just bring our listeners up to date, Ken, from your perspective as a recovering pharmacist, as a keen observer of the healthcare landscape, and somebody who really is dedicated to making the whole system work better. What is the state of the healthcare industry today?
Well, as a recovering pharmacist, it's actually the first time I've kind of been referred to that as that, because what I am is a retired pharmacist who loves our profession and loves the patients we serve. My dad was a pharmacist, so carrying on his legacy of being doc. But the nature of the healthcare industry, whether it's the pharmacy profession or healthcare in general, it's like you always ask the question. I had a pharmacist I worked with at West Ipe. She says, how are you doing? How are you going? How's it going? And before the pandemic, we all knew the healthcare system had flaws. We all knew that it didn't really do everything what the patients needed and everything, of course, what the providers needed to do to keep moving forward and working as hard as they did. So now after the pandemic, the state of the healthcare industry, it's not confidential. It's like everybody knows that it has to be rebuilt to a point where it satisfies the providers, it satisfies and takes care of the patients, and it really integrates back to the point where it can serve these patients in the way that they're going to dictate how they want to be served. They're not going to come back to the physician offices or the pharmacies like they did before. So as we rebuild and reposition healthcare, we need to really always focus on the patient. What do they need? Can we provide it? And then look to make sure that the business of healthcare satisfy all the needs that all the providers require.
And I love that you're focused on both sides of that equally, because they're equally important pieces of the pie in a way. The patients need to get the care that they require, and the providers need to obviously, you know, earn a living and be able to cover their overhead and make ends meet and pay their staff and pay their insurance premiums and all the rest of it.
Well, I used to say that, as pharmacists, because I can't speak as a doctor. I'm a pharmacist. And I would always say, well, we need to have patience for the business of pharmacy to allow us to serve our patients. And people looked at me like, goes, that's kind of crazy. But now, because there's so much need to serve those patients, we can't wait. We need to be proactive. We need to do outreach to go to them. Because even on top of the amount of people who have sadly lost their lives due to coronavirus, there are many, many more numbers we haven't even seen yet of patients with chronic illnesses dying in their homes, suffering because they are unable to connect with their primary care, their specialty, their care providers. So our focus as pharmacists today, concierge pharmacists, is to really be a telepractice, to take what the opportunity presented to us when we made, had to make changes to do outreach and use that as basically a new standard, in part for patient engagement. It's never going to replace the face-to-face, nor should it. It's never going to be able to, you're not going to be able to do everything you need to do as healthcare providers via telehealth. But telehealth right now is not just a fraction of the business. It's a major component, and that's what we focus on.
And what's interesting to me is that physicians and pharmacists have always enjoyed a very close bond and a special relationship, but it was kind of hidden, right? It was a little bit behind the scenes. So can you talk about the way that physicians and pharmacists are able to work together, always have worked together, and how in this new environment, the pharmacist is really well positioned to take on an even more meaningful role in patient care?
Well, I have to go back to the independent community pharmacy in working with a physician, which is a lot different now when physicians have to work under the great shadow of darkness that the big box retailers have on the corners of the neighborhoods that they serve. They are inundated, the physicians, by the workload that comes through for prior authorizations, for refill requests in an automated process. Now, I know this not because I am was a pharmacist sending those requests. I know it for working the last 6 years at the office of Dr. Michael Goodman in Belmore, Dr. Adam Cohn, and other concierge physicians here on Long Island, and seeing that the inundated work staff of these drones of sending paper over to the physician's office is just, it's just horrible. So I believe that the relationship of a pharmacist to a physician has been terribly damaged by the big box retailers who are metric driven, not patient driven. So we're hoping to change that by going into those offices and taking care of all of that junk and mess while also increasing patient outcomes, because our shadow is a good shadow.
So you're able to work under the license of a physician, correct, as a member of the healthcare team. Can you describe some of the different functions that a pharmacist is able to fulfill in a medical practice?
Well, a pharmacist, like any other person who's practicing at the height of his or her license, is allowed to work incident to direct supervision or indirect supervision to provide services that can then be billed compliantly, legally, to the practice. So what we've done is we've, instead of being a third party, and I had a conversation with a practice just the other day, says, you know, we've had issues with third parties and, you know, getting involved with our EMRs. I says, well, we're not a third party. We are the first party. We bring the party of a pharmacist into the practice seamlessly, with no out-of-pocket expense, with no, you know, no integration. The word integration is a dirty word in healthcare. No one wants to integrate one healthcare EMR to another because that's their lifeblood. That's the doctor's lifeblood. And I've seen personally in 6 years that I don't want that pushback. I want to be in the physician's office, just like an MA, a PA, a nurse practitioner, but at a peer-to-peer level, to be the medication expert, that person who can monitor blood glucose levels and talk about the titrations of a diabetic's medication with the evidence-based information that we can provide to that doctor and show them the risk aspects and put them into the A1C goals correctly. Saving time means saving money, but more so it's saving lives, Teresa, because these patients are in the dark zone right now. They were even before, now it's even worse.
You know, I remember at the beginning of the pandemic, being, it was almost like cognitive dissonance to think that this could be a period that would be economically challenging to physicians. You know, people need medical care during a pandemic, but yet that's exactly what happened, right? We saw that patients became very fearful and reticent about going into the doctor's office. And as you pointed out, telehealth really did step in and fill that void. So I wanted to talk about also the way that we talked about the physician and pharmacist relationship being kind of special and unique, but pharmacists also have a very unique and special way of interacting and communicating directly with patients. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? And certainly you have a lot of experience in that regard.
Sure. But I also want to step one step back, if I can, to talk about telehealth has not filled the void for physicians in terms of revenue. I think some of the figures that I looked at is that almost half the encounters, I think in the last quarter of 2020, that normally were done between providers and their patients was missing. So you're talking about a huge, huge financial impact to physicians. We help adapt to giving them more revenue back without spending any more money on staff, without spending any more time on their overworked staff already, and without really doing anything but allowing us to do what we do, to your point, connect with the patient. Pharmacists make outreach calls for a living. Pharmacists are always calling the patient. Now, albeit in a big box retailer, you're calling them to pick up their prescriptions or sign on to some crazy, stupid program or bothering them. But when a pharmacist takes the time to call a patient to see, how are you doing during this pandemic? How are you adapting? Are you getting the support you need? I'm calling on behalf of Dr. Goodman. I'm calling on behalf of your physician to just see how you're doing, because we know things are difficult. How are you managing? Is there anything we can do? That kind of outreach call, Teresa, is what saves lives. These people are depressed. They're isolated. Isolation is a disease now. It should be stat. It's a disease. So we need to connect. And the physicians are inundated. And they don't have the time. Not that they don't care. They do have a tremendous amount of respect for physicians. But they can only do so much with the amount of time and the pressures. Think about the vaccine right now. Every phone call that's coming into a physician's office is, how do I get my vaccine? How does a physician, a care provider, separate that from the fact that a chronically ill patient certainly should get that vaccine? But what about all the other issues that he or she is dealing with? Patient doesn't even want to hear about it until I figure out where they're going to get their vaccine. Very challenging communication time between patient and provider. We fill that gap with outreach, outreach, outreach. We work with universities across the country. We have 34 universities. These next generation providers want to engage with patients. So when they come on rotation, we give them patients to take care of, not tasks to go through making outreach calls just to see if they want to pick up their Flonase. It's about patient engagement. And the telehealth practice that we've developed allows us to raise the bar.
Focusing on those sort of people skills with these students, or are they coming to you kind of with that? Is that something that they enter into school knowing that they want to be of service and want to connect with other people?
Well, you have children, I have children and grandchildren. The communication skills of the next generation is lacking. But it doesn't mean that they can't communicate. It's just they've been given tools that we didn't have. The entire first week of their educational pathway at the academy that we mentor is about soft skills. It's about, they do mock calls. Today, our first week, rotations start on Monday. I think we brought in 16 new candidates, PharmD candidates from about 7 schools. Each one of them does a mock call to me. I'm a patient. Hi, Ken. I'm Teresa. I'm calling on behalf of Dr. Smith. I just wanted to say, they go through it. And if they're robotic, nicely, I advise them and mentor them. We don't precept these students. We mentor them. We need them, Teresa, more than anything else. We need them to have those soft skills. You can't teach soft skills, but you can practice them and you can get the experience. And what they lack is confidence. And when you tell them you can't kill somebody, it's not like a pill that you're going to put in the wrong They're afraid to come out of that comfort zone. And we spend the first week entirely. And then on Friday, we have our grand rounds. And I got to tell you, in 1 week, you see it's night and day. Confidence, communication skills. They're bright. They're articulate. We're just letting them blossom.
Yeah, and that's amazing. I mean, they really are tremendous. I've had the privilege of meeting a number of your students, and it's always, they're a very impressive group. One of the things that you just sort of alluded to was the idea that that patients are perhaps foregoing their normal screening exams, foregoing preventative care, and that at some point beyond this pandemic, we're going to start to reap the unfortunate rewards of all of that. What do you predict will happen in 6 months, a year, or maybe even in the shorter term, when as a result of patients not getting those types of preventive services?
Well, let me speak like a patient and let me predict for 6 days. I can't predict for 6 months or 6 years. Anyone who gives prognosis or projections of what they believe will happen, sadly, I don't think have the ability to do that. Nobody does. We're in a new world. This is my first pandemic, and I'm sure it's the first pandemic for everybody. But I can give you a specific example. I have asthma that is bordering on COPD. And my pulmonologist wants to do a breathing test. And he wanted to do it last week. And I needed a COVID test to go in to do that. And that COVID test, when I took it, was 1 day outside of the window where you had to have the swab done. I knew I needed the report. They told me I needed the negative report 3 to 5 days in advance, which was easy. I have access to that, and it's easy, and we got it. We do it for our patients. Well, when I showed up for the appointment needing that breathing test, they came out, and they said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Sternfeld, it's 1 day too soon. You took the swab 6 days. You did the swab." Now, it happened to be Sunday. Or Saturday, and I took the swab on Saturday. I couldn't go to FedEx on Sunday. I went on Monday. The lab got the report. Everything went fine. I had it in 24 hours, and I had it in my little phone to show them, and I showed them. They said no. So here I am needing a breathing test. My because of anxiety and because of weight, because of a whole bunch of things, I'm not doing great. Okay? They canceled. They had to cancel a needed test. So if you want me to predict how many people, what percentage of the people are being impacted negatively, I predict 100%. And anyone who wants to tell me that 100% of the patients have not been negatively impacted by what's going on with COVID, I would question their knowledge base.
Yeah, no, I can totally support that. I can tell you, anecdotally, from my own family, my father is in Florida. He needs to have a minor surgical procedure done and another one that's not so minor, but elective. And he has put it off now for going on a year. And, you know, it's concerning because at a certain point, that elective procedure becomes an emergency procedure because you have put it off for too long, right? And that's the situation that I think many people will find themselves in. So what can we do about that? Is there an answer? Is there a solution?
I believe there's an opportunity. I don't know if it's a solution. We need to do a deeper dive into areas where we can make a difference. And we can't be everything to everybody. There's too many issues and too many diseases. And I'm not saying you choose a disease. But for me, I always looked at, maybe it's because of my fact that my brother, I lost him 25 years ago to diabetes. I felt that the diabetic challenges before COVID were as horrific as anything. It's not a disease as much as it's a condition that exacerbates other comorbidities, that's why you lose your life and your quality of the care. And they struggled before the pandemic. So we as a company have using the telepractice outreach targeted diabetic patients. And we're saying, because it's true, those patients have hypertension, hyperlipidemia, COPD, weight loss, obesity. They have that. That's their challenges. So we partnered with a company called Diasys, who has an amazing platform that gives real-time blood glucose monitoring and medication titrations. So our pharmacists and pharmacy interns are trained on that platform. It's a life-saving platform, and it's easy to connect. You don't have to have a smartphone or a dumb phone. You know, we've taken technology and put a person in it. That person connects that patient or that caregiver. Diabetic patients are dying. Diabetic patients need care. So the telepractice for any physician in the country who wants to take the percentage of his patients, which generally is 20-30 or more percent of their patient population, with no out-of-pocket expense, with no change to their workforce, we will deliver a seamless diabetic outreach program to them that will generate revenue, outcomes, all the quality measures, with no cost to them, no out-of-pocket expense at all, no integration to their EMR, just bringing in a pharmacist-led solution to save lives. And I believe that we will save lives, Teresa. There are only 6,000 endocrinologists, and there are 33 million diabetics and more, 7 million are undiagnosed. I'm not a math major, but those diabetic patients need more care.
So I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about the upcoming event that you are sponsoring along with my company, which is the Toolkit for Independence. And I assume that this that the DiAssist platform and this solution is one of the things that you will be discussing with physicians who attend that event.
Yes, and I thank you for allowing us to really bring the pharmacist-led solution to the physicians. Because we're not providers, we can't do what we do without that physician engagement to work under their direct or indirect supervision for quality care. So at the Toolkit, which is really, from my opinion, I've been there, I think this is the third year, but the first year that I've really been able to step up with a solution that I know would address every attendee who is coming, and some of the doctors and the healthcare professionals who visit you for now, I think the fifth year or sixth year, we have a solution for them, and I'll be there. And I'll be there giving them the opportunity to help their patients, help their bottom line, because the Toolkit is about generating additional revenue for physicians in a challenging time. And this is the solution, a solution. This is a tool in an incredibly large toolkit that you serve up at this show and have for years. And I'm proud to sponsor it and to do as much as we can before the event, after the event, during the event, to make sure that everybody who can even spell toolkit knows that we can deliver better patient outcomes, enhance patient outcomes and metrics, and with no out-of-pocket expense to save lives.
And this is, thank you for saying that. This is the third year that you'll be part of the event. This is our fifth year of doing this and our first year of being virtual, just like everything else on the planet has become virtual over the past 12 months. So we're looking forward to that and to just let listeners know that that event is happening on March 25th from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. And that you are welcome to register by visiting our website at www.toolkitforindependence.com. So please go ahead and do that. What else are we working on, Ken? What else are you, there's always something going on in your world. What else is happening with you?
Well, actually not, and I'll tell you why. My world, as you know, as well as everybody, has lots of little things flying all over the place and visions and moving forward. But I believe right now, and actually your toolkit is giving me the focus, to really focus on something and go extremely deep with you. So I'd like to do more with less. I'd like to maybe offer anyone who's coming to the toolkit, give us one diabetic patient in your practice to care for. Let's do a screening for you. Let's set you up and put you into the, let us show you what we can do. And we don't offer this for anybody, you know, because, you know, we're looking for, you know, engagement with the practice, but you are, to me, Teresa, a practice of multiple physicians. So what I like to do is, and again, we'll talk about the simplicity of it, because I'm a keep it simple, stupid kind of guy, about where we'll do one, maybe some outreach, you know, in the next 2 or 3 weeks, to give every physician who wants to see it, and we'll give them the opportunity. Maybe we'll schedule an open webinar, and maybe we'll give them an opportunity to give us one patient to work with. Whatever we have to do, I'm Gumby, damn it. I want to help patients. Very flexible, but also very focused because I know the outcomes will more than impress. Just any doctor who sees this platform will say, wow.
Okay. And it is all about, as you said, not just about wowing the doctor and contributing to their bottom line, which is so important, but also saving lives and taking care of patients. Do you want to talk at all about COVID testing and what's happening in that regard?
Well, COVID testing for us initially and continues to be what we believe is a customer service that needs to be done. I think COVID testing will continue for a very long time, even after the vaccine and herd immunity. It's going to be like your passport to go around. We are continuing to look at, right now we have an at-home COVID test solution, but my nature is always looking to do it better, to change it from a nasal pharyngeal to a mid-nasal, to look at saliva only if it's good, to find situations that get that product to the patient's house even easier, quicker, faster, because this is about, this is a race to customer excellence. It's almost like an Amazon world. We have to create the best solution for the patient. And I can tell you every day, I look at tomorrow, tomorrow I'm researching not only at-home COVID testing, but at-home everything testing, A1Cs and other things, because we need to realize that people are at home. You know, Instacart's doing pretty good and DoorDash is doing pretty good. We as a company need to go to the patient. So what I'm doing, Teresa, with COVID testing is I continue every day to look for solutions that I would use that work for me, because I am a patient. And if it passed the muster with me, and I'm a pretty tough guy, then I can bring it to my patients and the physicians who we serve.
And in the minute or two that we have left, I'm saved the most complex question for that. So we'll see how you can dumb this down and get it into something we can all understand in a minute or less. When I first met you, you were talking a lot and about something that I know is still near and dear to you, which is pharmacogenomics. Do you want to talk about that at all?
Well, I'd like to buy a letter for you, Ben. pharmacogenomics will always be near and dear to my heart, because to have the right drug in the right dose at the information that you avoid adverse drug reactions is a core to my existence. It doesn't matter what company, it doesn't matter what lab, but every physician, and we can help them find solutions to avoid liability, but also save lives, adverse drug reactions, kill people.
Wow, you did it. I'm so impressed with that. Thank you so much for being here, Ken, today and sharing all of this information.
It sounds like a game show. It's like I'm Steven, you know, I get points after.
You do. You get to pick what's behind door number one now. So tell our listeners before you go where they can learn more about you and what you're doing.
Well, I work with a number of different entities, and I think the best one would be Care One Direct. Care One Direct is the pivoting company that I am now working with to deliver our services. Care One, CareOne, direct.com, delivers the telepractice, delivers the information that we talk about, and I am proud to be working with them and Dr. Greg Alston, who is really delivering solutions for healthcare and academia as we mentor the next generation, like no other individual I've ever met.
Excellent. Great way to wrap up episode 30. What did I say?
39.
There we go. All right. And I want to remind listeners that new Healthcare Confidential episodes are available on heliumradio.com on Mondays at 10 a.m. on the Care One Network and at 2 p.m. on the Life Improvement Radio Network. You can listen on demand wherever you access podcasts. Our show is produced by Life Improvement Media with thanks to Eric Remmel and Justin Ulrich, and of course, inspired originally by Ken Sternfeld. And our theme song is an original composition written and performed by the multi-talented Patrick Pekarsik. Before we go, I want to remind listeners one more time that the 5th Annual Toolkit for Independence, a virtual conference dedicated to the success of America's independent doctors, will be held on March 25th from 5:30 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Secure your free ticket or join us as a sponsor. Learn more at toolkitforindependence.com. That's toolkitforindependence, one word, .com. And if you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and leave us your feedback and help us continue the conversation on the Healthcare Confidential Facebook page. Be well, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to Helium Radio. The views expressed by show hosts or their guests are their own and should not be construed in any way as advice from Helium Radio. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our website. Personal perspectives expressed by the producers, writers, and editors will always be presented as such. Any rebroadcast or retransmission without the express written consent of Helium Radio is strictly prohibited. Thanks for listening.